This is a Sports Fluent presentation of The Coach and AK Experience with hosts Hugh Jackson and Anthony K. It starts now.
Welcome everybody to The Coach and AK Experience. I'm Anthony K. He's the coach, Hugh Jackson. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing good as always. I can never complain. I love enjoying our time together. And I'm going to do something different this week, because last week you sparked an interest in me when we talked a little bit about the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I follow you on social media. I saw a little back and forth you had about another team that plays in LA, one that I know you and I aren't that fond of sharing a building with. So the Clippers took a bit of a beating, I guess is the best way to put it, at the hands of the Mavs. So I want to hear your take on it. I was reading a little bit about what you were posting, but let's talk about the Clippers.
I just wanted people to understand. Everybody's talking about the Clippers, Mr. Ballmer, the new basketball arena that's being built. They're renting in our home right now at the Staples Center. They're the second team in Los Angeles. They're not the first team. They're not the Lakers. We have won our 17th banner that will go up. They don't have one, but yet it's always the Clippers are better than the Lakers. And so I had to put it out there that when you get beat like that by 51 points, that tells me something, Anthony, that they're not ready to be in prime time. I think they're a good little team, but they're not the Lakers.
It definitely did not look good. And it was funny because obviously the previous night, you know, I'm in Toronto. So we already have some, as a Laker fan in Toronto, I'm doubly angry. You know, first they took Kawhi, then they took Ibaka, and then Ibaka took out Kawhi with that accidental elbow. But then the beating they took at the hands of the Mavs was just, you know.
It was brutal.
And this is no knock. Listen, anyone in the NBA is a phenomenal athlete. The coaches are amazing. I didn't think Ty Lue was the right hire, to be honest with you. I also don't think the team had a good makeup in terms of the chemistry after what happened last year. I felt like they needed a shakeup.
And I do, because he's a Laker.
Yeah.
And in Cleveland when they won the championship, and I want to see him do well. But I doggone sure don't want to see him do as well as the Lakers.
No, exactly. Exactly. Hey, exactly. And one of the things, too, was – now they're building a stadium, so they're not going anywhere. But when Bob bought the team, I was the first one to scream, move him to Seattle. Seattle needs a basketball franchise. It just makes sense, right? I think a fresh start in Seattle would have been nice.
A fresh start.
Yeah. get the Supersonics back. Like, Seattle deserves a team.
They do.
So I don't want to talk too much about it, but I thought it was interesting. How do you have a game like that happen, we don't talk about it. So
absolutely.
So we're here to talk football, though, and I want to start with a guy that I think, look, he made a couple of bad decisions. He's a little immature. We get that. He's young. He's, I think, 22, 23 years old. Do you think the Dwayne Haskins, the Washington football team releasing Dwayne Haskins was a little premature, or did they do what they had to do kind of for their team going into kind of, you know, they need to big game this week. They need to win. Were they setting kind of the tone of this is how the franchise is going to be run?
You know, Anthony, I think all those are great questions. And when I think about that situation, there's so many questions that run through my head. Obviously, he was on a short leash after what happened being in the strip club. Now he doesn't show up to a media event, which is mandatory. And I think back to this behavior, and you would think that this behavior had to have shown itself somewhere else. Players don't come into the National Football League and just all of a sudden try to do things to get out. I just don't believe that. So somewhere back in high school, somewhere back at Ohio State, this behavior was seen. And then all the reports start to come out today that, boy, everybody knew he was immature. He wasn't this, he wasn't that. Now, remember, at Ohio State, they didn't let Joe Burrow play. Joe Burrow had to go to LSU to play when they picked Dwayne Haskins. And so here's a guy that you take, and you mean to tell me you didn't do all your investigation to understand who he was? And then you make him a team captain.
That was the one that I found interesting. Yeah. Making him a team captain, right, that's the one that's odd to me, because there was, you know, he didn't start right away. You knew there was something going on in practice because he wasn't playing. You know, obviously he's thrown in there because of injuries, really. And but he's a captain. That was kind of the second part that I was gonna ask you too. Like, why do you make him a captain if there's issues there?
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, so I know sometimes coaches really believe quarterbacks need to be the leaders of the team, and we all want that. But you have to earn that. You earn that by wins. You earn that by leadership qualities and characteristics. And I'm not saying that the young man doesn't have them. I'm not there to judge that. But my point is, you now, he was a captain. You pull the captain C off his chest. You throw him back out there to play again. He doesn't play well. He hasn't played well.
Right.
No one thought with him starting last week that they were going to win that game. And the other side of this all, nobody thinks about the human side of this. This young man, since he's been playing, coming from Ohio State, especially this year, it's been a hard year. Yeah. You starting, you lose your job. You come back in, you win a game. You go back out, and now you can't win. So you can't even complete balls. You're throwing interceptions. People forget that. I'm going to say this again. People are not built to lose. You're talking about an alpha male that now has money and resources, different type of resources. You don't think he's going to go try to get his win another way? That's all that was. He went to a strip club to go get a win. He decided not to do the media so that he could feel good about himself. And to me, those behaviors are learned way before you come to the National Football League.
So you said that a couple of times, and I'm curious because one of the things that from the outside looking in, sometimes we say is, well, they worked really hard, be it in high school and college, to get to their spot. And then, you know, once they got paid, do you see that as once they got paid, they start, or that behavior was there, now they're just doing it with money?
Come into the National Football League with this behavior.
Yeah. Okay.
Behavior don't just all of a sudden show up once they get to the National Football League. They come into the league. You got to remember, some of these universities we're talking about, there's some very high paying universities. So
fair enough.
This is behavior that's there. And so either we allowed it or we didn't really deal with it, but it was there. And now it's manifesting itself so the whole world can see. And he's not getting that same pass anymore. And I think that's what's happening.
Yeah. I think you brought up something that I never really thought of, but if you think about it, the players typically that are coming into the NFL or the NBA for that matter have always been the best. They've always won, right? I think it's 1-2% of college athletes actually make the pros. It's a very small percentage. So they're typically in winning programs. There's exceptions, but typically, and it's hard. It's tough to lose. So I'm understanding what you're saying with the try to get a win somewhere else, whether it be going out and doing it that way or saying, hey, no to the media, I'm better than them. Something, right, to boost you up a bit. Yeah.
And that we've had so many issues with players, and I don't think people get it. Your value when you walk into the National Football League is high, especially your first-round draft pick, your quarterback. You're seen as the savior of the organization. You're the face of the franchise. You've made a captain. Now, all those things are gone.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do? They're not going to just go home and sit there and look at the walls and do nothing. They're going to go find a way to release that pressure, that those thoughts, that negative feeling. And that's what has led to some of the issues that players have had, not just black players, white players, all kind of players, because they're going to go find a way to get their own personal wins. And that's what people have to understand. And I'm not saying it's right, but that's what they do.
Right. The last thing on the captaincy, do you ever see teams or coaches, maybe we give them we make them a captain and tell them, look, this is your, we know that he's being a little immature and maybe thinking giving him that added responsibility
would help.
Would help? Do you do that sometimes? Yeah.
I've seen that happen before. I don't think you can do it at the National Football League level, because the players will see right through that. You don't, fool the locker room. They know.
Right.
You know, who comes early, who stays late. They know who's putting in the time. They know everything. So you can't do that up here. Now, college, you can get away with that.
Yeah.
It's a different environment. But especially in the National Football League, you cannot get away with it that way.
And it's funny that you said come early, stay late, because one of the things you did hear after the fact was he came late, left early.
Yes.
But to the positive, he is still a talented young quarterback. Do you think he catches on, and obviously not this season because this season pretty much done, but next season, someone's going to take a chance on him, right, and see if they can develop him because he has that skill set?
I hope so. He's young. He has some growing up to do, and I could hear that in his last interview. You know, he wanted to be better. I think he knew he made some mistakes. Someone will give him a chance. I mean, you don't go as a first-round draft pick and don't have any talent.
Right.
Yeah. So who's going to take on that role of trying to get it out of him? It's going to be somebody who think they can do it. Now, he's got to want to do it more than they got to want to do it. And that's where it's got to start. He's got to change. He's got to reinvent himself in a lot of different areas and then go attack this thing like he never has before in order for it to work.
I'll put you on the hot seat.
Sure.
You're the GM. What you know about him, are you the type that would say, I'm going to take a chance and help see if I can turn him around?
Hugh Jackson at 45, 40, yes. Hugh Jackson at 55, no.
Fair enough. It's a little tougher as you get older. So we're going to move from him to your old team. And what are your old teams? And, you know, I'm shaking my head. Are the Browns cursed? Right?
No.
Are they going to make the playoffs here? Because they're not making it easy on themselves. Now I get it. COVID, they had a lot of players out this last week.
They did.
But and we're going to get to this in a minute. You're probably going to have for sure a 10-win, but maybe an 11-win team in the AFC not make the playoffs.
Yes, that's unbelievable. In a year of COVID, you would think 11 wins or 10 wins, 9 wins would get you into the playoffs. It's not going to be the case. The thing that people are, you know, everybody's talking about the Browns, but a lot of people are not talking about the Ravens, because here they come. You know, they've just been laying in the cut over there on the side, just watching this all go. And now they're in a better position than the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
All they got to do is win and they're in, because they beat the Browns twice. But the same thing with the Browns. And what I've learned today, the Browns are going to get a Pittsburgh Steelers team that's going to play Rudolph, a quarterback.
Right.
Won't be Ben Roethlisberger. I'm sure that lessens the pressure, but it also will heighten the pressure on game day, because it's saying to you, if I'm a Cleveland Brown player, coach, fan, they should win the game. What if they don't?
What if they don't?
And this is still football. At the end of the day, it's a football game, and games sometimes can go either way, based on breaks, based on this, that. How do we know there's not going to be another 6 guys from the Browns come down with COVID in the next 2 or 3 days? You just don't know. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I don't think they're cursed. If they were, I don't think they would have as many wins as they had this year. But at the same time, I understand the feeling, because you would think, man, you got a chance here to make the playoffs, 10 wins, and you still can't get in.
It's listen, I have some close friends that are Browns fans, and they've been long suffering, and it looked really good. And now, you know, it's almost like, you remember back with the Cubs, right? It's almost these lovable kind of, oh, losers. We're just here. Oh, we're going to find a way not to do it. We're going to find a way not to make it in. And it's just, it's so tough because they've played so well. How do you not look back, or can you? Like, obviously, the sentiment is, hey, we focus on this game, right? We focus on the Steelers. You know, we focus on this week. But do you look – can you not look back and go, ah, that game, we let that one slip away, or that one play cost us? Do you do that a lot?
You do. You do. Yeah. Boy, wouldn't be in a situation had we won that game or if we made that play. That comes to your mind. I mean, there's people that say it don't. It does. Now, it don't become the focus. Like you said, the focus is the team you're playing. You try to get locked in. You have to have the right plan. And then you have to make sure that your team is not looking someplace else. You know, you don't want the team that's not used to playing in the playoffs. It's really interesting. I'll tell you a story. I was the head coach of the Raiders in 2011, and we were playing the San Diego Chargers, who we had beat on the Thursday night in San Diego at home. We win the game. We win the AFC West. We host a playoff game that next week. The team had never been in that situation. I watched guys that were already calling the freaking freights to move cars, to make sure kids got back in school, and making sure that the wife was going to be comfortable in this. And I understood that. But at the same time, we're trying to do something that's special. We don't have time for that. But they had got accustomed to never being in that situation. We ended up losing that game. We never made San Diego punt. We scored 26 points on offense and still lost the game. Oh. So that was terrible. Yeah. And so I just hope that the Browns are not dealing with some of those issues, because it's a big moment. Are they going to capture the moment, or are they not going to capture the moment?
So let's talk about that. We know that KC, Pittsburgh, Buffalo are in. Mm-hmm. You have four spots. You have Tennessee playing the Texans. Mm-hmm. Miami playing the Bills, who don't really have anything to play for, so they might be resting some guys. Baltimore's playing Cincinnati. Cincinnati, again, nothing to play for except pride. So they might, I think they show up. And then Cleveland, like you said, playing a Pittsburgh team with Rudolph, who, again, no pressure on him. So he can just go out and fling the ball, right? And then you have, we don't talk about the Colts, playing the Jags, who also have, you know, nothing to play for. They've got, I think, the first overall pick locked up, and I would assume they're focusing on next season. But what do you see happening? So with those matchups and those, you got to, you know, only four out of the five get in.
This is one of the most interesting week 17, which is the 16-game season schedule. And I say that because the teams you just mentioned, you take Baltimore versus Cincinnati. When the season started, we say Baltimore wins this game easy. Well, Cincinnati now has won two games in a row.
Yeah, they look pretty good.
And at home, and they're playing with some intensity now, and you would think they would love to do what? Knock out the Baltimore Ravens.
I love that it's divisional games on the last week. I do love that. And right, so that's what I was going to ask you. Like, the spoiler, comes into play for sure?
Oh, my. You are locked in. If they can spoil Baltimore from having a chance to get to the playoffs, it doesn't change the season, but it makes you feel good going into the offseason. It's no different than if I'm Pittsburgh. I really don't want Cleveland in. I want to beat Cleveland. I want to keep them out. I'm not going to take a team that's in our division and want them in. And the other thing, I don't know how the seeds would work, because I haven't really studied it to that degree. I remember being in playoffs, and I was so mad. I think we won 11 games when I was in Cincinnati. And who do we play in the first round? The Pittsburgh Steelers. So is Pittsburgh and the Cleveland Browns going to play back-to-back games? Is there a possibility? I don't know. Is it Baltimore? I don't know. You're going to play another division team and you will be playing them for the third time. Normally, you don't want to do that. So there's a reason why I think Pittsburgh wants to knock Cleveland out if they can. It's the reason why we talked about why Cincinnati wants to do it. You look at the Colts, they're on the outside looking in. They have to win. They probably have the most winnable game of all the games.
Yeah, I think the Colts should take care of business. I had them winning the division at the beginning of the season, so they're there. Tennessee looks good when you have Derrick Henry. You know, Tannehill has surprised me. That offense as a whole has actually, I think, exceeded expectations. So whoever gets in between Tennessee and Indy, to your question, I think is the four seed. So then they're going to be playing someone, either Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, one of those. So there's a possibility Cleveland plays Pittsburgh again.
Yeah. And then Miami has to win against Buffalo. And like you said, is Buffalo going to rest players? Are they going to keep their rhythm going? I mean, they have a young quarterback. He's not as old as Ben. I understand the situation with Ben. But that's not the case in Buffalo. Now they've locked up the number two seed. There's no way Pittsburgh can unseat that from them. So what do you play for? Do you strategically take players out the game to give them a chance to heal up a little bit more as you get ready to go in? Because Buffalo's playing a game. This year, it's not two teams that are getting a bye, only one team. Can't see. Right. Everybody else is playing. You know, so there's you got to really think through it. I think strategically coaches have to really be in tune this year to try to figure this out to give their team the best chance to keep moving forward.
What is your philosophy on that? So if you're in this situation where you've locked in, you're the 2-3 seed, you know you're playing next week, you're not getting a bye, do you rest your quarterback regardless, or do you say, hey, let's keep that rhythm? You know, like I think Baltimore, now Baltimore's not in this situation, but Baltimore started off the season slow, and now they've been hot. I would think a team like Baltimore says, no, we're going because we want to keep that momentum. But a team like maybe Pittsburgh, where they've been up and down, older quarterback, they're resting their guy. Does it depend on the situation, or are you just saying, hey, let's rest our guys and get ready for the playoffs?
I think it depends on the situation, Anthony. I really believe that. I'm concerned about the Steelers. I'm not in Mike Tomlin's shoes. And again, this is one man's opinion. They hadn't played well. They really didn't catch fire last week until the second half. They scored 21 points in the second half. They did not look like a good football team in the first half. So there's been really two quarters of Pittsburgh football that we've seen. And guys made some unbelievable catches. Prior to that, they had lost three games and not even looked like themselves. Now you're saying in week 17, we're not going to play with our quarterback, with our leader. And I get it, because the other side of that, he's older.
Right.
You know? And he has some, you know, he has some
banged. We think he's a little hurt, right? He's banged up a little. Everyone's banged up at this point in the season, but yeah.
Absolutely. He's banged up a little bit, and you might have some guys on defense. You've lost some real key starters on defense. So you know you're in the playoffs. Boy, I want to be at my best in that game. But at the same time, you need to keep that feeling of your team moving forward and playing good and feeling good about what they're doing is important, because I really thought they would come out and really play in this game, because you're playing against another 10-win team. You beat them, that's a confidence boost for your team.
Right.
You know, you feel good about that. You go, hey, man, look, we just beat another 10-win team. We just beat the Colts. We now just beat the Browns. We're ready to go. But what if you don't? So there's a game that's going to be played on both sides of this, for Cleveland and for Pittsburgh, and I'm dying to see how this is going to unfold. Yeah.
Do they – I don't know. Maybe coaches do this. I that's what I'm asking. Do they do this because, hey, this is another 10-win team that's desperate to get into the playoffs. Let's rest our guys, because if we lose, we have that built-in, hey, you know what? That's okay. We lost. You know, we had nothing to play for. Do they build and say, hey, look at how we played against the Colts. Let's use that as our motivation in the playoffs. Is there any of that that goes in, like building in, I hate to say it, but building in an excuse?
I think there could be some of that, Anthony. But I tell you what, I don't want to be that coach.
No, I get it.
No, I mean, I'm trying to win every game that we play. There's a mentality and there's a belief within your team. They know when they're playing good. The Pittsburgh Steelers know they wasn't playing good.
Right.
They know they won that game last week by playing extra hard, going the extra mile, and the Colts helped them a little bit. Or else that wouldn't have been the case. They would have been playing for the AFC North this upcoming week. So I would be concerned that my team can't turn it on and turn it off, because I haven't been able to turn it back on. Against the Bengals, they couldn't turn it on. And it was a team that had only won two games at that point. Right. So that's concerning. And like I said, I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
All right, so we're going to switch over to the NFC. It's a little clearer over there. Green Bay's in. Although they're going for the bye is still up for grabs. New Orleans is in. I think Seattle and Tampa Bay are in. So you have Washington or Dallas. I can't believe Dallas is even in this conversation. They always seem to find a way, and then here they are again. So Washington or Dallas. Washington's playing Philly. Again, this is why I love the divisional games, because it doesn't matter. I feel like you could have a 13 win against a 3-win team, but if they're in the same division, it's going to be a close game. Yes. So I like it. So Washington's playing Philly, Dallas is playing New York. And then you have an interesting one where the Rams are playing Arizona, and the Bears are playing Green Bay, and they all have something at stake. So it's not like on the other side where, you know, there's really nothing at stake. I think there's actually, I don't even know. I should check this too. The Giants actually might have some, maybe a way too. I don't know. I don't think so. But basically it's Washington, Dallas. And then if Arizona loses, the Bears are in. But let's start there because I love my Bears. So we start Bears and the Packers. Bears win, they're in.
Bears win, they're in. So
but Packers win, they get the bye.
Absolutely. It goes, well, I think that I thought the Packers already had the bye sewn up. I think they beat the Saints, who's the next closest team, I thought. So I think the Packers, I was under the impression they have it sewn up. If they don't.
No, I think the Packers are win and they get the bye, or I believe a Saints loss.
Okay. Yeah. So but they beat the Saints this year. So think about it. If I'm the Pack, do I strategically, same thing I'm saying about, you know, Kansas City, do I strategically not play certain players to get them, you know, as Mike Tomlin used the term today, airmail them to the first round of the playoffs?
Right.
You know, you can do that, you know, if you feel very comfortable about that. But if not, then the Bears are going to have some trouble, you know, because if the Pack's there to play, that's going to be an unbelievable game. You look at the other games, you're talking about the Washington, you're talking about the Cardinals and the Rams. They may not have either one of their starting quarterbacks. Goff is out.
Right. That was surprising. I think he had surgery and he's still swollen. Looks like he may not play.
Yeah, he's not playing. And then you got Kyler Murray, who has a lower leg injury, and he may not be ready. So there's a potential that you might not have both quarterbacks playing in this game. And so what is that going to look like? They're trying to get Blake Bortles off of somebody else's practice squad to come back and be the backup at the Rams. So this is, I mean, that's what makes this so intriguing here at the end. What's going to happen? Here comes the Redskins. Okay, Dwayne Haskins didn't play well for two games. He's out. Here comes back Alex Smith, who hasn't played, who we know is a really good player for him, fine player for him, but can they muster up enough offense? Is he going to be rusty? You know, to where they don't play as well on offense, and all of a sudden Dallas goes down to New York and beats them like a drum, and Dallas is in. Oh my gosh. You know, it's just, how is this thing gonna unfold?
But not only is Dallas or Washington for that matter in, they're hosting a game
with seven wins.
I think Seattle was 7-9 when they hosted New Orleans, and that I think that was the earthquake game. And they upset the Saints. So anything can happen here.
It really can.
And meanwhile, in the AFC, you got an 11 win team that might not make it.
Absolutely.
So now you got to pick. So let's start with the AFC. Of the five, or just give me the one, who's out?
I think it's the Colts.
Colts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fair enough. They've got the toughest role. They need a win and some help there. In the NFC?
The Cardinals.
Cardinals are out. I like that one. I'm happy with that pick. do you think the Bears, if Green Bay plays, do you think the Bears, because their offense has looked like a whole different team the last couple of weeks, but I think the Packers' defense is underrated. Do they have a chance? Do they have a chance to upset the Packers? Because here's the other thing that you mentioned before. They could play again. They could play 2 weeks in a row.
That is, they can upset them. There's no question in my mind it can. They can beat them. They got to go play the best game to beat them if the Packers are playing their best game. I just don't see any reason why the Packers have to. You know, I know that we say they're still haven't got it locked up, but I think they mathematically are the team that's going to get the bye.
Okay. Yeah. Let's hope. Let's hope. So that's our football pick. So I'd like to see how it pans out. Let's move to the financial side of things. This week we're talking earned income, and it's the one that I think I know, but I don't know that I really know. So, because there's a couple more things that go, like obviously your job, and there's some other stuff that goes into earned income.
Right. I think you said it, Anthony. I think your earned income is what an employer is paying you for your services to do a job. But there's all kind of other ways of getting earned income from your particular boss. For instance, you might go to your boss and say, can I have a 5% increase if I increase business in an area? Maybe I have a skill of on the computer or something. You know, I can market something we're doing better than this and drive more traffic to it. And so, you know, obviously your employer, that's what he's looking for, you know? And so you make a deal on the side that, boy, for 5% of my salary, I do this extra work, I earn this extra money. I think people don't understand that you can do that. You can find other ways within your job to have more value than what just your earned income is.
I think it goes hand in hand with there's two things there. Now, one's income, one's not, but I don't think people do that. I don't think they have those conversations because there's a fear there, you know, to go in and say, hey, I think I can do this. Can you, you know, give me 5%, like you said, if I do X, Y, Z. It's also something I hear a lot with negotiating, right? People don't realize you can negotiate literally everything, right? You can negotiate your tuition. You literally can negotiate everything, and it's that fear of asking. So I'm an employee. I'm going to my employer. The obvious to me would be go in with a plan, right? Have some type of proposal.
First and foremost.
Anything else you need? Like, don't just go in and throw it out there, right? You should go in prepared.
Think about this, Anthony, along those lines. If I'm the employer, and everybody knows that you get a raise at some point in time. But if you're bringing me more value, I don't have a problem giving you that raise. If you're going to show me another way we can do things at a higher level and it works, I'm going to give you a bonus. I'm going to give you a raise. I'm going to give you everything else because that's now contributing to their overall. And that's why when you go in and you make it to where, hey, look at here, I'm not even asking for a raise. I'm asking you if I bring more value. If I increase this, doing extra work, not what I've been doing, I'm not going to stop doing what I've been doing, but doing extra work because I have a skill. Would you then consider giving me a bonus or giving me a something? I guarantee you more employers would work with their people who are earned income more than that they wouldn't. And that would take the fear out of it because you're not asking them to do something for nothing.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Now my wheels are kind of spinning. Like I've been approached, right? Mm-hmm. In my previous life, I was a marketing consultant and they came to me and said, hey, we're writing a book, like a curriculum, a training curriculum. Mm-hmm. Would you take X amount of time in the evenings on weekends to help us write this curriculum? And we're going to do this for you. So I've been approached to do it. I've never actually thought to go out and say, hey, let me put a proposal together and say, here's my idea. If I do this, this is what I'm looking for. Are you open to it? Because I think a lot of companies actually want to do more, but they look at headcount. They look at the expense of bringing on more staff because we don't realize too, unless you're a business owner, it's you can't just hire someone and say, okay, I'm going to pay them X. There's insurance, there's liability. There's so many other things that go in training that go into having more staff that you can't really just add more people. So yeah, we'd really like to do this. We'd really like to be more social. We'd really like to do more marketing. That's what most of them are doing now, but we can't. Well, but if someone came in and said, hey, I noticed that we don't do anything on Twitter. And I'm really good at, and here's my proposal. Here's how I can increase our engagement, get more views to our business. Here's what I'd like to do. Yeah. Why wouldn't they at least consider it? So,
absolutely. Because you're driving more money and you're not asking for them to do anything that doesn't benefit them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's showing initiative and kind of that ownership too. I'm trying to build this. I'm not just here, you know, punching a clock and doing A, B, and C. I'm really looking for the growth of the company, which who's not going to like that? I love it. All right. Last week we ended off and you said something to me and it stuck with me all week. And you said, you know, we were talking about social issues and you said, you want to dive deeper into them. You know, we've been having some good talks, you know, about things. And so I didn't send you a topic this week. I said, let's just be open. So when you said, let's dive, and you said another thing too. You said, what does coming together mean? So those are the two things I want to talk about this week. One, diving deeper. So what does that mean? And then coming together, because I think that's an important one too. So diving deeper, what do you mean?
I think diving deeper means let's ask the real, let's take the transparency stuff off and let's ask the real hard question. You know, why don't you like me? And why don't you like the color of my skin? What is the fear in the color of my skin? Is it the culture? Is it that you believe everybody is the same in that culture? Is it that you've never grown up around minorities, never really engaged in minorities until you had to? I just think those questions are more challenging for people than just, there's a problem and you know about this, you know. Let's dive in. Let's really have some real transparent questions that really matter so I can really get to know you. Why do you have this issue? And then you got to ask me, why do I have the issue I have? And I guarantee you that moves a conversation in a whole different direction.
It's hard. It's a tough, it's hard.
You just said it. It is hard because you're afraid if I say something wrong, the conversation's over.
Right.
But that's what we got to get to. We got to get to where the conversation isn't over. But we got to have those questions asked to bring right solutions.
Because historically, right, that's what has happened is if you try to have that transparent conversation, feelings get in the way. And not that it's a bad thing, but it does. And I always, you know, I don't know if this is my quote. I'm going to put it out there because I use it all the time. Mm-hmm. Emotion is the death of reason.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I think I invented it actually, so I'm going to put it out there. But because I looked it up, I couldn't find anybody else. But that's the thing that happens is you ask me a hard question. I'm hesitant to answer it because I don't want to answer the wrong way. Which, although there is no wrong answer, but I don't want to answer the wrong way. I don't want to upset you. I don't want to offend you. So I don't give you the honest answer. Because now it gets emotional. And the second it gets emotional, reason's out the window, and now we're arguing, and we get nowhere. In fact, we probably go backwards.
The problem, Anthony, is the little man that sits on people's shoulder that tells them, okay, what is that person really meaning? What is that person really trying to say? We got to kick him out first.
Right.
First, we got to get rid of all the barriers that could stop the conversation from moving forward. There's no reason to shout. Body language, how you speak, how you come across, I think is so important in those situations because we already know heading into this, there's going to be tough things said and tough questions asked. So you already have to go in with all your defenses down. And if you're not going to do that, then like you said, we're never going to get anywhere. Because we can't. Because I can't really ask you what I really want to ask you. And you can't ask me what you really want to ask me. So we have to have a game plan going into this to dive deeper, to understand, to get deep, we first must relinquish all of the fears, anxiety, being afraid. We gotta let all that go. We gotta don't take things personal when they're said.
It's tough not to take it personal. And you brought up the key thing, fear. Because fear from the people that, you know, I've been trying to have these conversations as much as I can way before any of this happened. I'm talking years now. And the fear, right, when we're in, you know, kind of behind closed doors and people really open up sometimes, the fear is so deep rooted in some people and in certain areas, right? I've been fortunate. I grew up here in Toronto, but I went to university in West Virginia. I've been down to Alabama and Mississippi, and I've traveled around. I lived in Arizona, California, Colorado. I've lived in a lot of different, I've lived in Europe. And it's funny how it seems like this huge issue in the US, but it's not. It literally is everywhere, right? Like I've lived in Greece and Italy, and it's there too. Not to that scale, obviously, but the fear, so I'm going to jump back to the fear. The fear is so deep rooted because it's hundreds of years of someone telling you watch out for the black man.
Yes.
They're you know, the big, strong black man's going to hurt you if you let him. They're going to take advantage of you if you let him. How does someone hearing that for hundreds of years go into that conversation without that, like you said, that little person on their shoulder telling them, be careful, they're out to get you? And don't get me wrong, it's the other way too, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know, I'm an employer. I've interviewed people and it's like, well, you really want to offer me this like for nothing? Like what's, you know, what are you trying to take advantage of me for? It does go both ways, but right. how do you get, because it's hundreds of years and we don't have hundreds more to change it.
No doubt. I've learned this, a saying I have. We talk about things in public, but change really happens in private. In order to have those kind of conversations, as I said earlier, until you can get, and you got to have the right person leading it. Anybody just can't lead it.
Right.
Because people start, you're playing favorites. You got to have the right mediator, probably that's a better term, to move it along so you don't get stuck on something. Because people, all those other emotions we just talked about, they're gonna bubble up to the surface. And you got to be strong enough and you got to have enough resolve about yourself not to go there and not let that person drag you over into that mud, because it's easy to do. Because the hard part, Anthony, if people don't get, is the minorities don't have the same starting point as our Caucasian brothers and sisters. We don't. And to me, if we start there too, do you understand why we don't have the same starting point? We keep saying we're equal. That's why when you say come together, how? We don't have the same starting point as you. And I'm talking about them. So when you have that conversation, people don't get, what do you mean you don't? Well, for 400 years, we're slaves. So that's what we know.
Right.
You know something different. So you thought that everything was just okay. I had the same life as you. No, I didn't. So you don't get it. And the people who go into these conversations and don't educate themselves, first and foremost, to know what potentially could be coming from the other side, then that's a problem. That's a problem. You can't walk into a fight, a knife fight, with a butcher knife. There's just no way. You got to make sure that you're equipped with the right information too, so that you can best understand where somebody's coming from. I just don't think enough of that happened. I think we're so engaged in the traditional, the normal, you hear me use that term a lot, the normal, that when it gets off normal, everybody's ready to fight and everybody clenches their fists. Come on, let's go. Yeah, it's not the way it is.
People don't like change. People don't like change, and it's, yeah, and it's tough. So how, again, we talk about meeting somewhere in the middle, you know, the starting points. Listen, I am not blind to the fact that I'm a 6'3" white guy. And before I grew the beard and the, right, you know, it was easier for me to get a job. I get that. People see me walking down the street and they're like, hey, there's a nice guy, right? It's a big smile on his face. No problem. I'm not blind to that. I see that. So the other side will say, well, listen, look at you, coach. You didn't grow up in the nicest place in the world. You worked hard, you put your head down, and you made something of yourself. So it's possible. It's possible if you try.
Very much.
Why are you making excuses?
Well, it's not excuses. I'm trying to make it better. I also have children, and I don't want them to experience some of the things that are in the world today. I might have skirted around some of them. They may not have a chance to skirt around them. And I wish it was me dealing with it and not them. And that's how I truly feel. I mean, I feel like I've been fortunate and blessed, just as you said. I've had more good things happen to me than bad things. But at the same time, that's me and it's not my children. My children is going to experience something possibly way different. And it can be very, very hard. And if I don't leave the legacy of trying to do something to better it for them, then I'm just a part of the problem.
And that's where, you know, listen, it could, whether it's race, whether it's COVID, I find that every time I try to have that conversation with someone and say, hey, open your eyes a little bit and see, it's immediately met with, especially in today's kind of social media, let's get part of the story and run with it. Mm-hmm. It's immediately a conflict. So is it just one person at a time? Because until that drowns out the voices of the others, like, how do you get that point across where it's not the argument, where we have a conversation and we say, look, I understand it, but mm-hmm. do the masses? No, they probably don't. Is that, you know, I've heard this a lot. And I think it rings true, right? For a black man in the US, you got to work twice as hard to get half as much. I hear that all the time. And I don't doubt it at all. How do you get everyone to see that? And more importantly, like you said, in private, how do you get those people to make the people that make the decisions to make the adjustments to look, will it ever be 100% equal and no. fair for everyone? Probably not. Right. But how do you take those steps forward?
You know, Anthony, I've learned this. People don't change until they have to. People don't change until there's something that possibly they could lose. And if they're going to lose something, then there's change.
Right.
So I think, and that's why I love being on the show with you. Me and you should bring a person each. If we're going to really be about change, you need to bring somebody to the show. I need to bring somebody to the show during this time and let them have a real conversation. And it's just on one topic. Why do you feel like you feel? Until those conversations start, it's not gonna change. And if we can get one and two, maybe that leads to four, maybe that leads to eight. And then it blows up, you know, and it might not be just me and you, it might be them furthering the conversation. But until people can feel like you said it, I can be on the other side of you and really say how I feel and you not bristle up, fight me, go and become emotional, all those things, then I can talk to you. But if you do that, I can't talk to you. Because I feel like you don't hear me. So I think people have to see people have that kind of dialogue in order to change it. But there's not a lot of that going on. There's so much of the other that's still going on. I mean, we are a divided country, you know, at the end of the day. I mean, we have the president over here. We have the new president-elect over there. I mean, it's just, that's what it is. And so people have to wire back into love, respect, honor, being able to have conversations with each other and trust that the person is being transparent with you about what they feel.
So I know on both sides, there's a lot of really kind of well-spoken people that I follow and watch. But then I also see the same people sometimes get into these kind of heated, they'd let the emotion take over. Mm-hmm. How do you go about your day knowing everything that's happening around you and keep that level, you know, have a conversation and not get emotional? How do you do it?
Probably because I feel like I've been blessed. I think the people who are really struggling, there's something they want. I'm not in need of anything. You know, and maybe that's why I feel the way I feel. And I'm not talking about from a financial standpoint, but I'm not in need of somebody's approval. I'm not in need of somebody making me feel good. I'm in need of respect. We all are. But I'm not in need of something from you. So if you're having a bad day, I can chalk it up to you having a bad day. Not that is my color. And it may be my color. You know, it could very well be. So I try not to engage in those things because I know if I ever end up over in the mud, I'm going to drown because I'm going all the way in, you know. So I don't want to do that. So I try to do it with an open heart and an open mind. And I always try to keep God first in it. And I try to see the good, even though when I know there's bad, you know, I do. And because it's the only way to get out the other side. Because people who get stuck in this routine in their head, life is passing you by. You can't move forward. I've seen it too many times. man, they're doing this to me. It's them. They're doing this to me. And we get tired of hearing that. I get tired of hearing that too. I don't want to hear that. Then you're allowing that to be done to you.
Yeah.
Either you're either accepted or you're not. So if I can't have a conversation with that person and tell what they're doing to me, then that's the problem. You know.
You brought up a good point. You said you're comfortable with where you are.
Yes.
And I think that's the tough, as hard as it is sometimes when, you know, people are looking at each other across the table, sometimes the hardest part is looking at themselves in the mirror, right? Yes. Like I find that again, some of the conversations that I've had, it's not just the color of your skin. It's also, I'm not comfortable with who I am. And so I'm going to try to protect what I have, as fictitious as that is sometimes, I'm going to try to protect that with everything that I have. You know, I hear your soon to be former, if he lets it happen, former president, you know, make America great again. And I laugh because for the greatest country in the world, it also, you know, when was it great? Right. I hear that too, because if you look back, yeah, there, you know, country was super rich. Yeah. But it was because it was built on the backs of slaves who, you know, were forced to work for free. And then, you know, women couldn't vote. And there's just, you know, then there was a system put in place to keep certain people in certain classes. And, you know, when was it really great? But we're at a precipice. I think now's the opportunity where you could actually make it great, but it involves everybody. And let's go ahead.
No, Anthony, you're so on it. And I'll say this, and I know we're getting coming to a close, but the color is not black and white. The color is green.
Yes, 100%.
The color is green. And that's why I said until people don't change until they have to. What creates change is when all of a sudden things start to change in people's pocket. And then people all of a sudden start having conversations. I hate to say it. That's what
I had a psychologist on my show about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And she works with businesses where she goes in and kind of evaluates, typically it's racial issues within the company, mm-hmm. and they make change. And she says they don't hire her company. She doesn't come in until there's something so drastic happens that they're forced to come in. She gave me a story about a company in Florida. I will not say the name of the company, where someone had left a noose on the boardroom table and right. Oh, now we've hit that point. We have to change something. And she goes, that's when they call her in. And she goes, it shouldn't have to get to that point. No. And I agree, but you're right. It is green. And it's funny because you said something there that I'll touch on when you say it's not black and white, because look, there's obviously there's some black and white to it. However, you know, I was in Alabama. I'm Greek. I'm of Greek descent. And I'm telling you right now, I was with my basketball team, and I was told that the black players are going with the other black players to go out that night. The white players are going with the other white players. And so I went to go with my team, and they went, no, you can't go with those guys. So I went to go with the white guys, and they said, no, you can't go with those guys too. They went, what? And then you have to go with the Mexicans. And I went, I don't understand. You know, they were so upfront and rude about it. And I'd only been in the U.S. for a year. So I'd never in my mind. I didn't know what to say. I stuttered. And I went, okay, well, you know, we're going to go have some tequila and have a good time. But you know, I didn't think of the bigger picture, but I just went, wow, like, come on guys. Like, shouldn't we all just, we're a team 99% of the time. Why can't we be a team 100% of the time? And that's what really, you know, that's when I think it started for me to kind of ask questions, and I didn't always like the answers I got.
So there was the coming together. They didn't want to come together.
No.
That's when I hear that, it bothers me, you know. Well, everybody's got to come together and go to, how are you going to make that happen? What does that mean? We're going to come together. I'm supposed, so I got to take on what you feel, or you got to take on what I feel? Do you even know what I feel? Do I even know what you feel? People just throw things out without thinking. You can't come together until you have had a legitimate conversation and some type of solution that you both agree on.
Well, and that, see, you asked me last week, you said, what does coming together mean? And I don't know if you caught it because it was right at the tail end. And I said, well, it's actually both people giving up something. Because, and that's where I see the biggest divide is I'm here and I'm not giving up anything. And look, this is both, look, you know, hard conversation we're having. It's on both sides. Oh, yeah. It's on both sides. It's, well, I'm here and I'm here. I'm not giving up whatever it happens to be, right? If I'm a white guy asking the black, hey, I want you to give this up. Well, no, I'm not doing that. But you have to give this up. Well, I'm not doing that. And until the first kind of step is made where I'm going to give up, I'm open. I'm going to give up something. I'm going to give up something. That's really the only way. Look, I hate to say it, but in business, it's just like that. It's a negotiation. I want you to pay me this. You want to pay that. We're both, it's funny. Some people look at it, we both lose, but really you're both winning. Right? Absolutely. You're both winning. And that's where we have to change the mentality of you're not both losing something. You're actually both gaining something because the closer that we, will it ever be perfect? No, I know, you know, it's
better understanding.
It'll never be unicorns and rainbows, but it will be closer. Mm-hmm. And that's really like, you know, I think the goal. So I'll leave you with the final word.
Oh, it's always, like I said, it's so stimulating sitting here having these kind of conversations because it's the conversations I think that need to be had everywhere. And I think people have to feel comfortable. There's no fear I have with you. I'm very transparent. I think you're very transparent with me. There's nothing we hide. I think more of that has to happen to understand people better. And until that happens, I'm afraid there won't be change. I feel like we talk about it a little bit. And again, my challenge has always been to the National Football League. There's a young man that just got killed 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, was shot by an officer in his driveway. We have not heard one thing about that from the National Football League. And to me,
because we're in one of those down, remember I told you it spikes. Yeah. And then like, we haven't heard a lot about it anywhere.
Yeah, and that's what gets me. You know, it's like when we want to do something as a country, we can. When we don't, we don't. And to me, the silence says a lot. Says that it really doesn't matter. And that bothers me more than anything.
So let's make this commitment tonight then. Mm-hmm. You and I, because I like your idea. We'll bring in two because I feel very comfortable talking to you. Right. Mm-hmm. I think we're calm. We can have a conversation. And I think, you know, maybe we're the mediators of the next two. And because I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. If we can get more people being comfortable enough to have those conversations, something starts to happen. Right. And then
my challenge is, Anthony, is for a minority person and a Caucasian person to go find somebody to have that conversation. That's what I want to promote and feel comfortable. And it might be a friend, but you got to feel comfortable that I can be the best version of myself with that person. I don't have to change anything. I can let my fears down. I can just really be who I am. And I need you to accept me for who I am. And I don't have all the answers. And I might have something in me that might infuriate you, but please don't judge me.
Right.
Because I didn't know that it would infuriate you, but this is who I am. When that starts to happen, if we can create that kind of movement, watch what it does. Because then people will start looking at each other differently. It's really amazing to me when I tell people my story, growing up at 52nd in Hoover, being around the Hoover Cribs, living on the top of a church, the majority of my life, people go, no way. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. My dad wasn't a coach. My dad worked at Weber Aircraft. My dad finished the third grade. My mother finished the 11th grade. I made a decision about what I wanted to be in my life. And people go, that can't be the case. Yes, it can be. Because I've learned what I didn't want to be. And I tried to go make it happen. And that's what we all try to do to the best of our ability. Now, some of us get, you know, pushed and moved on for different reasons. But at the same time, you got to have some type of desire, dedication, determination, and discipline in order to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, just think about it, right? You said so many good things in that piece there. If you try hard and you want to make a difference, and on your side, and then someone, instead of pushing you down, just gives you a hand. Doesn't have to be much.
No.
It's almost like it's not even give you a hand. In some cases, just don't push me back. Just let me do it.
Yes.
Just that alone, it's almost like do nothing. And it's actually better than what you're doing, which is pushing someone down.
Pull me down. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So thank you so much for your time.
Sure, you
too. As always, I appreciate it. And let's work on getting, you know, let's start this movement, because, you know, it's important. And as much as we talk, and I love talking football with you, obviously, and finance, you know, I hate to say it, this is the most important part of what we do, I think, and we should definitely do more of it. So again, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And we'll talk next week.
Get the full Sports Fluent experience at sportsfluent.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at sports_fluent. You can search us on YouTube at sportsfluent, and don't forget to subscribe. Or if you're looking for some great merchandise or to support the podcast, visit sportsfluent.com/merchandise.